I'm Jeff Davis. Thanks for joining me today on The Wine Road. On today's podcast, winemaker Bill Nockbauer of Acorn Winery in Russian River Valley, Sonoma County. He's one of the few who still makes wine from field blends. My recent visit was an eye-opening and palate-pleasing evening to learn how many varieties Bill utilizes in his many blends and nearly single varietals he bottles. The original vineyard is over 130 years old and has been expanding over the decades. As an example of one of his wines, this is what he has in his 2012 Acorn Hill Alegria Vineyards blend.
It contains the Rhone varieties of Syrah, Petit Syrah, and Viognier, the French Languedoc Alicante Boucher, American Zinfandel, and Italian Sangiovese, and the rare varieties Mammolo and Canaiolo. It's an amazing blend.
Well, I hope you like it. It's our version of a Super Tuscan. In Italy, when they made wines that didn't comply with the rules, someone came up with the idea of calling that a Super Tuscan, but basically it's like taking Sangiovese plus a French grape. There's no real definition of it.
But you've gone a lot further than some of the Super Tuscans I've had.
Yeah, well, you know, throwing in the Zin is always... In fact, we don't put the Zin in every year, but it's that they all grow side by side on the hill, and I figure then they should all be in there.
So you do sometimes vary your blends a little bit?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, well, that one, I don't know, it's kind of arbitrary whether I put this in or not. So most of the other field blends are, you know, exactly, you know, what you get is what we pick. But then, jumping ahead to Medley with the, you know, the whole vineyard blend, that we compose, but it's a blend of blends. I've got a chart, I'll show you to explain that. But
is it a challenge to get all those varieties in one bottle?
It is, yeah. That,
you know, the field blend idea is kind of gone by the wayside for decades now, but yeah. You're continuing that out of tradition.
Right, it went out of style after Prohibition, I think mainly because people focused on varietal labeling, which hadn't been so important before Prohibition, and... So if they're only going to call things by a varietal name, they figured, well, why plant the other things? But that made some of these other grapes kind of endangered species, and I think it compromised the wine. I mean, you get a lot more complexity out of the wine with the field blend. It's like if you're making a stew, you want the ingredients to interact right from the beginning, and you get a different thing than if you had them all separate and mixed them up on the way to the table.
But these days, with the popularity of blends, what most people do is they pick them separately and ferment them separately, but you're throwing it all into the fermentation tank and fermenting.
Blended the day they're picked. Yeah.
So in a sense, you're kind of allowing Mother Nature to lend a hand in your winemaking process.
We're making our bet right then as to what's going to work.
That's great. Well, in a sense, you're kind of a rebel, at least in traditional methods.
Yeah, a rebel and you know, traditional too, because we're going back to the way it always was done before. Yeah. But we're mixing up grapes that people didn't mix before, and you know, I've planted a lot of grapes that nobody else has. I've just grapes I was curious about.
And although you are a retroactive rebel, you are well connected. You're well connected with the heart and soul of the land and life. Tell me how you chose Acorn as the name of your winery and Alegria for your vineyard.
Well, we're tiny like an acorn, and the wine has a lot of potential. Someone wrote a story about it, said mighty wines from little acorn flow. There are oak trees on the vineyard. The wine goes into oak barrels. As I say, it's a good symbol of potential and prosperity, good fortune. Yeah. It's easier to pronounce than Alegria, which is the name we gave the vineyard. Alegria means happiness in Spanish. But some people, including my father-in-law, would mispronounce that and say Algeria. So we wanted something simpler. Yeah. And we really have two businesses. We sell about half the grapes to other wineries, so we continue to have the vineyard name appear on other people's labels, and we thought we wanted them to continue to do that and not be, you know, having us be Alegria Winery.
I thought I saw too that the Alegria also tied in with your farm workers, your all that.
Yes, it it's a nod to the, you know, the Spanish-Mexican heritage of California.
I'm talking with Bill Nockbauer of Acorn Winery. His vineyard was originally planted in 1890. At this point in the interview, I was going to ask him how he came to obtain the property, but then he emailed me the History of the Land sheet, which details a majority of the landowners going back to 1841, even further when you consider the Pomo and Wapo Native American tribes. How fascinating to have such a detailed record of your land.
Well, one of the first things I did after buying the property was to search the chain of title, and I came up with all these names. There's still more work to do on it, but when I'm out working in the vineyard, I sometimes am, you know, kind of imagining what they were thinking about when they chose the mix they did. With the, you know, each of these old field blend vineyards has its own personality based on, you know, what the people who planted it thought would work best. I'm sure the mix evolved over the years as it changed hands.
I thought it was interesting that General Vallejo also, because of the Mexican government, had ownership of this property back in the early to mid-1800s. And it's so funny that anybody related to General Vallejo seemed to do pretty well, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, this was part of a 48,000-acre land grant to Henry Delano Fitch, who was a Boston sea captain, came and settled in San Diego. And he eloped with General Vallejo's sister-in-law, whose name was Carrillo, Josefa Carrillo. And her parents wouldn't let them get married, so they hopped on his ship and went down to Chile to get married and came back.
Well, Mariano must not have been upset because he ended up giving him some of the property.
Yeah, he ended up giving him this grant. Yeah. So the people who planted this vineyard and everyone in Healdsburg were squatters on this Mexican land grant. Mm-hmm. And after statehood, the title was confirmed in Fitch's widow, but she had no way to get people off the land, and she owed a lot of taxes, so she had to she sent this lawyer around to negotiate sales to the people who were already on it. He had to carry a gun because they were all threatening him, trying to get him off the land.
It was the Wild West, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
The locals may recognize the name Fitch because of Fitch Mountain.
Fitch Mountain. Yeah. Fitch Mountain is named for him.
I was amazed at how many hands it went through in the mid-1900s, the 20th century. Quite a few hands, and it's fortunate that of all the people that were here, they kept the vineyards going.
Right. It's fortunate that it survived Prohibition and the Depression. And they must have managed to sell the grapes during Prohibition. So a lot of grapes were sold to home winemakers during Prohibition.
Yeah, you had your 200 gallons per person.
Yes,
per year.
Yeah, so most people don't know that during Prohibition, grape acreage in California actually increased, because they were shipping all the grapes back east and or various places where home winemakers could make 200 gallons of wine legally.
That's an interesting fact. Well, I wasn't surprised, having learned all this about your vineyards, that the Alegria Vineyard is registered with the Historic Vineyard Society.
Yes. Well, it's one of the oldest around. It, actually, when we bought it, you know, several people advised us to rip it out and start over, but I just kind of fell in love with the old vines because they have such personality.
Right. As you said earlier, these field blends have such complexity to them, and you can just taste the history and the age.
Yes.
Bill believes in sustainable farming and incorporates a lot of extra effort to maintain a fine balance within his Alegria vineyard. His long list of respectable clients are a testament to his efforts. They include such notable names as Ridge Vineyards, Rosenbloom Cellars, Matrix Winery, Geyser Peak, Rodney Strong, Plumpjack, Paul Matthews, Deloche, and the list goes on. Now, let's go back to the beginning. Before Bill was a farmer and winemaker, he worked in the cities as a lawyer.
That's right, yes. I was a lawyer in Washington, D.C. and San Francisco before coming here. Yeah,
right. The major markets, as they would say.
Yeah, right. I guess you could say that. I grew up in Vallejo and went to school at Berkeley. And family's been in Sonoma County since the 1860s.
Well, I saw that one great-great-grandfather just lived a couple of miles from here.
Yes, some great-great-grandparents settled in Windsor in 1868, and I have some, I guess, their great-great-uncles buried in the cemetery there that died in childhood.
And you think there's a possibility, because of the how few people were here, that the Brumfields, who owned the property then, may have known your great-great-grand.
I think it's quite possible. They were only 2 miles away. Mm-hmm. And the Brumfields, at least one of them, was pretty notorious. Bird Brumfield was in the papers because he killed someone in a barroom fight in Santa Rosa and was later killed in a barroom fight in Halesburg. So
it's been fun to dig up this history.
Yes.
So to speak. Well, I don't need to ask, but I'm sure. Are you happy with your decision to leave law and get into the wine world?
I enjoy being outdoors. I enjoy having a physical product that people appreciate, and you know, no one ever gave me such positive feedback for legal work. So, yes, I like it. Yeah.
Getting back to your Zinfandel vineyard, many Zin vineyards like yours are well known to have plantings from other varieties as well, and I noticed that one of the varieties in your vineyard is what was originally thought to be Zinfandel's origin, one of its origin varieties, the Croatian grape Plavac Mali. It's also planted here.
Right. That one I actually added myself, but that Plavac Mali is a descendant of Zinfandel, and it is the most widely planted red grape in Croatia today. Yeah. And you can... a looser cluster, tighter, tougher skin than Zin. You can see why it would do better in a country where it rains in the summertime versus California. So California turned out to be just the right place for Zinfandel because of our dry summers.
I'm surprised there isn't more planted around here. It must not be easy to get a hold of, though, is it?
The Plavac Mali?
Yeah.
Well, when we have Zinfandel, I guess you don't really need it, but it's... It does seem to ripen a little later than Zin.
So am I correct in counting that there are 32 different varieties planted here?
No, we're up to over 70 now. There are about 60 in the medley, which
really?
We'll get to. But they're not all listed on the map. So maybe you were counting on the map. But
I was going by the list that I saw on your website.
Oh, okay. Well, this when we the medley. We have a chart to explain it. I'll hold it up to the microphone.
Yeah.
But I discovered there's a vineyard in Winters called the National Germplasm Repository where they maintain a lot of grapes to keep them from going extinct so that they'll have them for plant breeding purposes. So I selected a lot of grapes there because I was intrigued by them. In some cases, I picked grapes because they had the names of people in the family. Like, so Betsy's grandmother was Madeline. We have some grapes called Madeline, and we have a niece named Jessica, and so forth. We have a grape from Afghanistan called Kir Ghulaman, a grape from Crete called Liadico. Anyway, with this, do you want to talk about the medley?
Sure. There's certainly a lot to talk about there, and there's a lot of varieties to cover.
With the medley, we start with what we call the base blend, which is all our most aromatic wine grapes and a lot of table grapes. And it looks like this going into the fermenter. It's all different colors. We have pink grapes that are table grapes from New York that taste like butterscotch and cotton candy. And, you know, 10 different muscats and senso. So it's a very aromatic wine. We make that wine, put it in barrel for 6 months, 8 months, and then taste through all the other wines. We'll taste new and neutral oak from each of the others and kind of rank them and put a blend together. And the blend's different every year just because it's not a formula. It's just based on flavor, and the starting point is the wine we like best or we think is going to work best. But the objective is to get every grape into the bottle and make the best wine we can that represents the whole vineyard.
And do people just think you're nuts? Or, but well, judging by the awards you're winning, you're doing something right.
they're intrigued by the story, and they probably think I'm a mad scientist or crazy or something.
What a staggering list of varieties. He has a chart that shows all the grape varieties he grows, and I'll put that on my website so you can take a look at all of them. You can find it at onthewineroad.com. He's Bill Nockbauer of Acorn Winery, and I asked Bill, does it just so happen that all of these varieties ripen about the same time for harvest?
We do this in about three picks. So each pick's a different blend, and then we put it all together. So they're, especially some of the, good question, some of these table grapes ripen pretty early. So we do, the first pick makes about, only about 30 gallons of wine, that then we jump in with the rest. One critical thing about a field blend is you have to pick grapes that ripen about the same time. So when we got here, there was a Pinot Noir vine out in the middle of the vineyard, and by the time you picked the Zinfandel, it was all dried up. Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't want to mix Pinot and Zinfandel. So you have to pick grapes that ripen about the same time.
But you do bottle some standalone wines with a small percentage of vintage.
Most of our wines have a varietal name on them, because they exceed the 75% requirement in the rules. But
give us a list of those.
Every wine we make is a field blend. So we have Zinfandel, Syrah, Sangiovese, Cabernet Franc, Dolcetto. But each is a blend. They're predominantly the name variety, but they'll have a little bit of the others.
And then you have your Axiom Syrah.
The Axiom Syrah, did I forget that? Yeah, the Syrah is 2% Viognier, and they're interplanted and co-fermented. So the Viognier adds aroma, and there's a cofactor in the Viognier skins that binds with the color in the Syrah, stabilizes the color, gives it a silkier mouthfeel.
Many people may not realize or just think about it that Viognier is a white grape.
Right, it's a white grape, but you don't lose any colors because of this chemical property of the way it actually makes longer molecules that are more stable. So, and it's a practice that they've been doing in Cote Roti for a long time without having a scientific explanation for it. But
I've come to learn that I enjoy it better with the Viognier than by itself.
I certainly do. Yeah, if you read reviews of Syrah that's 100% Syrah, they seldom talk about aroma. There's just not much of a aroma to Syrah.
The Viognier certainly has plenty of aroma.
That's right. Viognier has plenty. 2% seems to be just right for us. There are people who do more. I think even in Cote Roti, they can go up to 20%.
Yes, some winemakers like to add a little bit of white wine to red wine to enhance the flavors and aroma just a little bit more to make a very good wine a spectacular wine. If you get a chance, do a tasting at Acorn Winery in Russian River Valley, just off Old Redwood Highway. It is very likely that you will never taste wines like his field blends anywhere else. They're very good and well worth it. Plus, he and his wife Betsy are gracious hosts. Their website is acornwinery.com. Their tastings are by appointment only, so be sure to call ahead. Thanks to Bill Nockbauer for his time. For other interviews, wine tidbits, and facts, visit my website, onthewineroad.com. Thanks for listening to this podcast. I'm Jeff Davis.